Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay, so we've been wound up on this show this week about, is your device listening to you and what happens when it does? Jeffrey Fowler is a Washington Post technology columnist. He writes out of San Francisco about how to navigate, I believe I'm reading from his page now, the confusing, occasionally scary, and deeply personal world of tech. Jeffrey, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
So here's how we've come to you, and I don't know that you and I were talking about the same thing, but let's talk about both. We were talking this week about how sometimes when people are on their phone or just have their phone nearby and they'll mention something, hey, this new wine that we're having at Thanksgiving dinner is delicious, but it's a brand new label we've never tried. And then suddenly on somebody's phone, they get a Facebook thing saying, try this new one. They get an ad for it. And people are convinced that their phones and laptops are not only listening or eavesdropping, but then monetizing that or selling that information to Facebook. And Facebook is populating with ads. And you know the anecdotes are endless. Ian Schur from CNET was on with us this week, and he said that's coincidental, that that's not happening. What is your take on that?
I certainly know the feeling. It can be super creepy when it feels like they know what you're talking about or what you're doing. But the truth of the matter is actually even scarier than that.
Yeah.
They aren't listening through the microphone on your phone or your computer because they don't need to, because they have a much better source of information about you. And that's the way that Facebook and Google, the world's two largest advertising companies, are plugged into every single thing that you do, both on the internet and off of it. So let me explain. So you might understand that, like, oh, when you on Facebook and you look at somebody's page or you click on an ad, they might know that. But Facebook is so deeply plugged into the vast majority of websites and apps that are out there that they know what you're doing even when the Facebook app is closed. In fact, Facebook knows what you're doing even when you maybe purchase something in a real world store, because that store has a deal with Facebook and passes the information back to Facebook. So if you bought that bottle of wine at a very fancy wine shop, could be that they have a deal with Facebook. So that's how they knew, because they knew you actually purchased it in the real world. They don't need to be recording your voice to get that.
So then they throw out that ad as kind of a blanket, and it lands in a lot of people's feeds. And it's not a coincidence, but some people might be getting it who weren't talking about it, and they won't notice it. But all those people that do say, oh, my God, it's happening, when really it's just the web. It's not them listening per se.
That's right. The funniest part of all of this is, as I'm sure you've talked about on this show, you know, all of these tech companies, Facebook and Google, are in deep trouble with Congress right now. And they keep getting dragged in front of their CEOs, keep getting dragged in front to answer questions. And one line, one fib that they keep telling over and over again is that Americans love targeted advertising. They actually say that in front of Congress, that we would prefer to have these creepy ads follow us around than not. And of course, that just isn't the reality.
We have made a deal with our smart speakers, though, right? We're talking to them all of the time, are we not?
Yeah. So there's a different kind of technology,
yeah,
right? That's the we sometimes call it the smart things. We've got smart speakers and now smart thermostats and smart light bulbs and wearables and all these other sorts of things. And sometimes they contain microphones that with the idea that they're supposed to be activated by voice. So you command them, right? You call out Alexa or OK Google to make them work. And this is an idea that Amazon really brought into our lives and made seem completely normal. But I think a lot of people don't really realize what they're buying into when they install one of these devices at home as well. Because you think, oh, it only listens when I command it to, right? When I say that wake word, as it's called. But I did an experiment last year where I went into my Alexa archive. It turns out that Amazon keeps a copy of everything it ever records from your home. And you can, if you know where to go in and listen to it. And I did. And I found mine was recording lots of times when I did not intentionally call the wake word. It just kind of got confused and started recording at the wrong time.
When you do that, does it replay your voice or does it transcribe your voice? How do you see this information?
It does both, and it's super creepy. Let me just tell you, going back into your life, I've had one of these smart speakers for years, and going back and re-listening to these little snippets of your life.
I don't want
to
do that.
For some reason, mine went off a lot while I was watching Downton Abbey, back when that was like a big thing to watch on TV. And I have all these funny snippets of Downton Abbey in there, but also more personal and intimate stuff, you know, friends and family members discussing business, discussing medical things.
So you were able to click and listen back to your voice saying these things?
Yes, anybody can do that. And for all the listeners on this show right now, I would say one of the things that happens, I wrote this story last year about how I said Alexa's been eavesdropping on us this whole time. And in part because of the pressure from that column, and others have written on this topic as well, Amazon finally, 2 months ago, made a change. So it used to be that you could not tell Amazon to stop keeping these recordings, that it was just going to do it. You might be able to go in later after the fact and delete them one by one, but it still was keeping them because they knew nobody would bother going back to delete them.
Yeah, right.
But now they have finally added a setting. If you go in and dig around in your Alexa app, that you can tell it to stop keeping the recordings in the first place. And you know that's an important move. I wish it was the default for Amazon. It still is not the default, but at least we can do that now. You know, and I think this is a part of a much bigger conversation that we're having with Silicon Valley about really designing these products for our privacy in mind rather than their needs. Of course, Amazon wants all this data because it helps their systems get smarter. We are the fuel that's feeding them.
Well, the point I was making about this, Jeffrey Fowler's on a phone line. He's, can you tell, a technology columnist for The Washington Post, is that's the price you pay. You're not charged for these services, and they are extraordinarily powerful and convenient and uplifting. Think of the power you have with the internet and voice command, but you don't pay for it, and here's how you pay for it. You get ads. I wonder if we knew that, if it was just more transparent, if that was more stated, if we would continue to operate the way we're operating.
Yeah, I think the lack of transparency is a really big part of this. I did a series of columns where I called it The Secret Life of Your Data. And that one we were talking about with my smart speaker was the first one in the series, where I just went through and I tried to track down where my data went from all these different things I've got in my life, from my web browser, from my smart speaker, from my car, from my television. And it was extraordinarily difficult to get these companies to kind of own up to what data they were collecting, what they were doing with it, and who they were sharing with it. They felt like they didn't owe that to me as a customer. The good news is that the laws in the United States are starting to catch up with them. And California, the first state, starting this year, has a law that requires them to at least answer the question.
A lot of times I'll see a pop-up saying, can we find out your location when I'm clicking on a site or a store? And I often say yes, because I think ultimately that will be helpful to me. Maybe I'm going to drive there and I want them to be able to give me directions or whatever. What's your advice to me on that?
If in doubt, say no, because they're always going to want to take more information than they need. And when you say yes one time, that might also be giving them the permission to track your location all sorts of other times.
Yeah.
And there is a giant industry out there of data companies that just collect people's location and then sell that for all sorts of purposes. They sell it to marketers. They sell it to politicians. That was a big thing with this year. They also sell it to the government. We've now seen some cases where the government, instead of getting a warrant from a judge to track down, you know, maybe someone they are concerned is an illegal immigrant, they now just go buy the data from some company from their phone to track them down. So it's really quite a brave new world.
Jeffrey, let's just go back to what started this conversation, and that is people fearful that, suspecting that their phone and laptop are listening to them, literally watching them. A woman described a scene where she was using a hand cream, didn't say anything, but it was her phone was in view, and then she got ads for that very brand of new cream that she was trying. And your point about this is that it's not your phone that's watching. You may have been talking about that, and your smart speaker is listening to it, and all of these data points that we leave scattered around our lives are collecting it. So, hard as it is to believe, those devices aren't listening, but other means are gathering that information, and that's how it's happening, right?
That's correct. That we might think that we're kind of unique animals, but actually our patterns are really easy for computers to understand. So, if you have enough friends who have shown interest in that cream or have bought that cream, Facebook can make those connections and then start advertising it to you. Or they've got their fingers so deep into corporate America, with other retailers, with other websites, that they know pretty much, you know, what you're looking at and what you're doing, so that they can use their artificial intelligence to try to get to what you're thinking about or what you might even be interested in before you know you are.
Well, you use the word creepy, and if it is that insidious that it knows about me more than I know about me without me telling it, that's startling in a way, isn't it?
That's kind of the goal of this whole new swath of the American economy. You know, it's called surveillance capitalism, the idea that if you just gather enough data about people by surveilling them, by tracking what they're clicking on and doing and buying, that you can feed into their every need and want.
Jeffrey Fowler from The Washington Post. I'm going to call you about every day now, Jeffrey. You've been very helpful. Thank you for your time, and
you can
read him at WAPO.com. We appreciate your help today.
You bet.
WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom will come into your ears after this.